Hey, this is Hans Kirsch from Demon's Wizard speaking. You're listening to Sonic Perspectives.
I think you guys have had a really, really busy couple weeks, so I just want to let you know that I'm grateful for you giving us this time.
Likewise, we're also very grateful to have this opportunity, and it's great fun to be here. Unfortunately, it will be over this evening, but never say never. I have no idea when we are coming back with Demons and Wizards, but one fine day we may come for a second round.
It's been 20 years already since Demons and Wizards first became a thing, since you've made the first album. It's been 15 since you released the second album. What I'd like to know is how many times you called John to ask him, hey man, you ready for number three? Only to hear him say, yeah, about that.
Well, it was like a ping pong thing. We discussed that for the last 10 years a couple of times. But it's just the schedules of the two bands, they switch completely. So for a time, it was running simultaneously, Iced Earth and Blind Guardian was. But for at least the last 10 years, maybe even 15 years, it was like whenever we finished the cycle, Iced Earth started a new cycle and the other way around. So we never really had the chance to hook up together again for a potential successor of Touched by the Crimson King. 3 years ago, we finally decided it would be about the time, and he just sent me a few first song ideas he has had. And we worked on them, and then it took another 3 years before we really started to get serious about the whole thing. That was last year. Yeah. When doing so, we just mentioned that in interviews, because we are asked a lot of times, you know, what is going to happen, blah, 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 with regard to Demons and Wizards. And we, of course, said, well, we intend to do some songwriting. And with that, all of a sudden, all the promoters started being interested in us playing live shows, mainly the Wacken promoters. And we couldn't resist there. So we said, well, let's hold back the album a little longer. We started songwriting and everything, but we have to do Wacken and have to make sure that we play a few shows in the year 2019.
And then you got the offer to do this, but I heard that that you guys actually booked Prog Power USA, which you're headlining tonight. I heard that you were approached to do this before you were approached about Wacken. Is that the case?
I would not say so. No, I think Wacken might not have been announced. That can be. This I cannot say. Okay. You know, maybe that has been the case, but basically, we have been announced for Wacken on the festival in 2018, that was early August, and I would guess we have been announced with Prog Power here when the festival started, so the announcement here was a little later, but I cannot say 100%. Both have been booked around the same time, but at that point we were not even sure if there was a US tour or North America tour in general or not.
The spirit of Demons and Wizards, at least like as far as my ears can tell, it always seemed to be the bastard child of both Iced Earth and Blind Guardian, your band and John's band. But in the band's first live incarnation, you guys had a bunch of dudes from other bands like Halford and I think Sentenced, right? So your current lineup is basically half Iced Earth and half Blind Guardian. It just seems like such a natural choice to do it this way, and I kind of wonder why half Iced Earth and half Blind Guardian didn't happen when the band first started playing, like in 2000.
I believe it is going to be the case in the future as well. You know, we just choose the people we feel right at the moment. When doing these first touring in 2000 and also doing the two albums, we already figured out, especially then, I think it was even more important for us than nowadays, to set that aside from Blind Guardian and Iced Earth by having other musicians involved, because that is John Schaefer and Hansi Kirsch. Okay. This is how we looked at it and this is how we treated it. And now, I mean, it's like a family gathering more, so we try to bring that together, but it does not have to be like this. You know, Demons and Wizards is more focused on us as songwriters and the music than on the guest musicians themselves. We always will look for people who fit in very well, but it is not said that for the future that this is going to be Ice Earth or Blind Guardian members.
That makes sense. It makes sense. So, like, it's very much about you and John.
Yeah. It is all what it is, you know. Now on tour, when, you know, being a group, of course, everyone who will be involved and who is involved at the moment gets the same attention and is to be considered a member of Demons and Wizards. But for the project itself and for the creativity, it will always be John and I. And therefore, we will also have the free choice with whom we want to work with.
If I may, I would like to fanboy for just a second. On paper, it's said that the idea behind Demons and Wizards was to bring your voice together with John's melodies. But like to me, like the most distinctive thing about Iced Earth has always been John's incredible riffing ability. Like, I've never heard anybody riff like that. And then when I heard that sound with your voice over it, when Heaven Denies first came out, when I put that piece of vinyl in for the first time in the spring of 2000, it blew my fucking mind. With that in mind, you know, with your very different approaches, you know, to your craft, how naturally does songwriting come for you guys?
First, all these descriptions are like definitions, you know. You need to have something, you know, how you want to describe the impossible. I mean, it's creativity, and we both always put our full weight in, and I do not really, you know, think about, you know, what is my share or what could John's share be. We have a natural sharing, which, you know, comes by the way we, you know, are used to work. So for John, of course, it's the expression of his rhythm guitars and the way he sets up an arrangement. And in my case, it is how to relate on such an arrangement. That's pretty much as I work with Andre as well. So he comes up with a basic arrangement in most of the cases, and then I just build up from there. And usually it is pretty much on me to come up with melodies, you know, and bringing in this approach. And by mingling these two ingredients together, we already get an idea in which direction we would like to go concept-wise. And I think there is a perfect match. What can I say? I mean, it's really not a lot of discussion about what a direction is supposed to go with regard to lyrics. It's never been, and it's also not the case for the new stuff.
Yeah, you mentioned your lyrics. I promise we'll get back to that in a little bit. But like for now, it kind of sounds like you guys are kind of doing what you normally do. It just happens to be a really good match when you guys do it together.
Yeah, correct. For John, it's a little different because he, from the beginning, does not really pay attention to melody lines, which he does in Iced Earth in lots of cases. There are incidents where he also has just a basic arrangement and delivers that to whoever is vocalist, either Stu or Matt back in the days. And then they come up with melody lines. That's certainly the case there sometimes as well. But for me, working with him, it is in general. He just pays attention to, you know, his inner emotions and whatever is coming out expression-wise, he's going to deliver. But he does not pay any attention to vocal or melody lines, not at all.
So that's all you?
That would be me.
I love the way it sounds. The self-titled debut and Touched by the Crimson King have both been reissued on CD and vinyl to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the band. And by the way, they look incredible. I love the way that they've been revamped. And you guys are currently on your first U.S. tour as Demons and Wizards. So first off, as a fan, I'm really grateful that you guys are, that you're headlining here at Prog Power in Atlanta, but that you're also doing the full tour. So like, both Blind Guardian and Iced Earth came to prominence in Europe while metal was kind of in a slump here in the United States, but you guys have, like, you know, reached a respectable amount of success here in the United States all these years later. So, like, what made you guys decide that now was the right time to bring Demons and Wizards to the U.S.?
If not now, when then? That was more the discussion we have had. If we go on tour again, and if we play shows in Europe, then it's more than just fair to do some here in North America. We would like to do more, but you know, the schedule looks different wherever we are playing and whatever we are doing, because we are both obliged to Iced Earth and Blind Guardian, you know. I felt it very natural. I would not have minded doing it after the third album, but it seems that this was the right moment since Wacken and Atlanta was interested in, you know, having us playing. So we had a very good pillar for both territories, which is very important for us as artists from the financial standpoint on. Yeah. And then everything moved very natural and without a lot of discussion. Now I'm really grateful we did it. It was a very good experience. I'm very pleased. And whenever we're coming back, I know what to expect.
So what have you seen that you didn't expect?
Well, I mean, of course, when we play with Blind Guardian, the reactions are kind of similar, and we, as well as Iced Earth, play in front of a similar crowd. But you could see that, I believe, I mean, the main reason to do music, apart from expressing oneself, is to make people happy. And this became very obvious. I mean, this we've made many, many people very, very happy. And if I look at the reactions we have got on the social medias, blah, 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 I know it's just a piece of it. But also, you know, by word, by mouth, what I've heard, everyone is just freaking about the whole thing. So I'm sure we made a lot of people happy. And that, of course, is the mission.
Yeah.
And be it with Blind Guardian or Demons and Wizards, I'm just happy always if that mission is accomplished. And of course, it's nice to experience things from a different approach, which of course is the case with Demons and Wizards, where we're half American, half German.
I was here when they made the announcement that you guys were going to headline this year, and the place just went nuts. So yeah, you've got an auditorium full of very, very excited people that are here specifically to see you guys. So I hope that we live up to your expectations.
I have no doubts. It's always, you know, it's related to the artist, you know, it's related to the audience, to the perception, of course. But if it comes back to creating the excitement or improving the excitement even, that is about the people on stage. We have to deliver. So the burden to say so, there is no burden at all, because it's, you know, quite easy going because people are so grateful. But the burden is on us to, you know, make sure that this is going to happen, and we will.
Okay, so your lyrics. First off, I'm a big Oscar Wilde fan, but for some reason, I don't think that's why you guys started playing Dorian in Montreal the other night.
It was actually...
Oh, you played it because I'm a Oscar Wilde fan. Okay.
It was not because... I was not finished. It was not because of the hurricane.
Oh, it wasn't?
No, we were kind of concerned, you know, because such relationships, you know, they are coincidence, but
yeah.
People pick it up very quickly. No, we really played it. One reason was that we have had enough head time. Most of the places we played, and even if the audience went crazy, we had strict curfews, so there was no chance for us to adding the song. But we, from the beginning, said, well, we're just going to play it when the people go completely nuts.
Okay.
And this has been the case, like in three or four places where we were really like, we should play it, but we were not allowed to. And in Montreal, the people completely were driven insane. I mean, they are very hot-blooded, and they deserved it. So,
well, cool. I hope that we earn that privilege.
I hope so too. We do not have a real strict curfew here, but we're still limited, you know. And the problem with Dorian is, in a situation like here, we haven't rehearsed it a lot of times, and it's, most of the songs, you know. At some places, people required majesty, but if you are with a band on tour which never had played together, that's no option. It's even for Blind Guardian, if someone comes, and it happened a couple of times, and asks for a song like Run for the Night, we will have to rehearse it like a few days or a few hours at the very least to be really back into the mode of playing it.
Yeah.
And that is the same with a song like Dorian. You know, it would have been nice to rehearse it this afternoon or this morning when we had a sound check. We did not do so, but yes, I think we can play it.
Hanzi, you're known for taking inspiration for your lyrics from literature. You've covered Wilde, obviously, John Milton, Herman Melville, Stephen King. You did George R.R. Martin before it was cool. Props to you. And
even I mean, Tolkien was always cool somehow, but he was not very spectacular and very popular in the metal scene at the point we started working on it. So even though there were bands like Cirith Ungol around, you know, we were pretty much the first ones who really picked it up.
Yeah, you guys made a career about it like 15 years before the movie started coming out.
Right, and we stopped dealing with it pretty much, you know, with the movies, because then when it becomes a hype, it's always a little difficult to keep the sensation. Though some of the stuff we did, even in the earlier past, would have been suitable for Tolkien. But it's really difficult then to get back when the momentum is so much on that side.
Yeah. Okay, so you've covered all these renowned authors, and you're cooking up some new music right now, I understand. I'm kind of wondering where you're planning on taking the third Demons and Wizards album lyrically.
I have to finish two more lyrics. Sometimes we share lyrics. John did a few of the Demons and Wizards lyrics as well, and he's going to do for the new one as well. As far as I have worked on the lyrics, I finished the lyrics so far. I dealt with Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials. Ooh. I paid a lot of attention to that because I saw the movie and I was not really thrilled about the movie.
Right.
And all of a sudden I got the books and was like, maybe I should give it a try. And I was really impressed by the storytelling. It's amazing.
And it's pretty subversive. That's what I love about that trilogy.
It's f***ing amazing.
Yeah.
And so I dedicated three songs of the new album to it, which are all a little different, you know. These were actually the first one John provided me with, and he considered them to be Iced Earth songs, and they, from the basic arrangement already, have nothing to do with Iced Earth. So I was really happy, you know, to get the opportunity to do my vocals to it. And since they are so odd, I dedicated all three of them to Philip Pullman's His Dark Materials. So that is one thing. And then another fantasy topic I picked up was Brendan Sanderson's Stormlight Archives, which is quite new for me. It was the same with George R. R. Martin back then. I just read the first thick book, to say so. And the same here with Brendan Sanderson. I'm continuing with the rest of the book. So the song will be called Final Warning or Distant Warning. We have not determined this now. There's a lot of guessing in there, and I hope still that, you know, sometimes I'm really good in guessing that things will proceed in this direction. But I kept my focus on one character.
Okay, just out of curiosity, you get your inspiration from so many of these great English language authors. I was wondering if you read them in translation in German, or do you read the original English?
It's different. It really differs from book to book. And sometimes, like in Brendan Sanderson's case, I switch. You know, I jump to the English version, then I go back to the German version. Sometimes it's better to stick to the German version if it gets too complicated. And then I just, you know, use an English version as an intensifier. But there's no rule. I mean, I do whatever comes first, usually.
Have you ever considered writing about some German authors that we might not know so much about here in the English-speaking world?
Well, I mean, the Blind Guardian orchestral album, you know, is a cooperation with Markus Heitz, who is a fantasy author from Germany who I admire a lot. He came up with a prequel of what we are doing on the orchestral album, and then he gave me a frame for what the orchestral album is supposed to be about, and then I went freestyle. I like to do that also with the most of the literature I'm working on. You know, I'm bringing in my guessings and my feelings and, you know, my perspectives a lot.
Now, correct me if I misunderstood, but it sounded like you're collaborating with the author himself on the orchestral Blind Guardian album.
That is the case, yes. Yeah, he's a cool guy. I contacted him like 5-6 years ago, and I was sure even then that the orchestral album would be released very soon, which was not the case. It still took a while, but we established, I think, quite a nice story.
You know, I've been hearing rumors about this Blind Guardian Orchestra album for about 20 years now, and you just made me even more excited to hear it. It comes out at the end of this year, right?
It's going to be released on November the 8th. And the first online single is available now. It's called Point of No Return. There will be another online single in October, which is called This Storm. And then we'll see. Some people will be very, very pleased, and it opens new doors for sure, because it's soundtrack music with my vocals. And yeah, for the ones who are really just into the Blind Guardian Let Your Hair stuff, that's probably hard to digest in the beginning, but give it a try.
Okay, last question for you. So you've been playing a couple of Blind Guardian songs and a couple of Iced Earth songs on this tour. So I was wondering, first of all, what it's like for you to sing Matt Barlow's songs, and also what it was like for you to share the stage with the man himself a few nights ago.
Well, in general, you know, I like to approach to a song just because I like it. And when I like it, I like the vocalist, obviously. But from this point on, apart from trying to pay tribute to what the guys have done, I try to deliver it into my own performance. Of course, a song like I Died For You, you need to be very close to the original. You cannot go too far off. That's impossible. So I was really curious about these two songs, and of course they still grow on me. We played like maybe 30 shows, and usually this is when a band really starts to explode and be tight, and you know, everything is somehow defined, and then you can work on the details. I'm really happy to sing these songs, and I switched them into a completely different direction, I would say, and this is also what hopefully attracts people, you know. So there is no comparison to what Matt has done with his songs and what I'm doing, because I'm doing it how I would do it, like I did the Blind Guardian cover versions over all the years. It's always the same for me. Being on stage with him it was a trip. It was a very nice experience. I mean, we know each other for almost more than 20 years now. So there is a very strong friendship even between Matt and me, always. We respect ourselves as, you know, colleagues, and he has a strong voice, very majestic, very authentic, and I like that. You know, I like all vocalists which bring in their own character, and of course he's a theatrical size, which I really admire.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I am really, really glad that you guys are here. I'm really, really glad that you are touring the entire U.S. And I'm really looking forward to tonight. And thank you so much for your time, Hansi.
Great fun.
I appreciate it.
And that was Hansi Kirsch of Demons and Wizards and Blind Guardian. We spoke in Atlanta on Saturday, September 7th, where Demons and Wizards concluded their very first North American tour as the Day 4 headliner at Prague Power USA number 20. New music from both Demons and Wizards and Blind Guardian is currently in the works. Don't forget to like, follow, and stalk us on Facebook and Twitter, and to subscribe to us on Stitcher, Apple, and Google Play, where you can also leave us a 5 or hell, even a 6-star review, just because you're cool like that. And don't forget that you can always get a review, interview, photo gallery, and other prog and metal-related fixes over at sonicperspectives.com. From the safety that is the sanctum of San Antonio, this is Gonzo signing off with my favorite track from that first Demons and Wizards record. This is Blood on My Hands.